Our first speaker this morning is Pastor Pavel Galins from Siberia. So we have the iPad here coming up, and Pastor Pavel is... Are you from Murmansk? You're from north, way up by the Arctic Ocean, or sea, way up near Finland, actually. And in his heart, he's like an enemy of the Finnish people. No, not really. But come on. Okay, so would we have the map up there? Okay, so this is Murmansk here, this part. Okay, way over there near Finland. And Pastor, come on. Now, he is a deep, spirit-filled servant. I mean, really. Yeah, I know, wait a minute. I know, we say that about everybody, but he really is. That's what I mean. He really is, okay? And really walks with God, loves the finished work, has a great ministry. Can you show us on the map where the church is, Pastor? Have you seen the map before? There we go. Yeah, you know what? We need another color, don't we? Let's do this black. There we go. Let's try that. There we go. That came up. Okay. Hey, we love this guy. Come on. Let's get a moment. Okay.
Okay, good morning, everybody. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers and grandfathers and on. And also happy Father's Day to all the spiritual fathers. Even if you don't have children of your own, you have amazing, you can have, or you already might have many spiritual children. And my name is Pavel, Pastor Pavel, from this place, from this spot on the map. So, and I just want to say thank you, Pastor Schaller. Thank you very much for our friendship. Thank you, dear body of Christ, for our friendship. And thank you for praying for us. Last year, I was sharing that the Lord gave us a building, which we owed some money on it. And about half a year ago, we were like really pressed because we had a deadline to pay, and we felt so unbelieving about it. And the Lord raised two donors, which gave like $13,000 for that building, and we paid it off as like a couple months ago. It's totally paid off, and we have our own building. It's not a building, but it's a facility where we have our services, and we're actually three other churches also. You know, they're kind of helping us, and we're helping them gather in that facility, and we're just asking you to pray that the Lord would just open more and more doors for people come to Him, to Christ, come into this amazing kingdom we are part of. Amen? So, thank you, dear body of Christ. Really, thank you. You really mean a lot to us. And I just want to shortly say something about something I don't understand. And it's from Ezekiel 36. And I will read just a couple of verses, and this is what it says here. You may open or maybe just listen. Ezekiel 36, verse 26-27. A new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. And another verse. I just quote a part of it. We are partakers of the divine nature through God's promises. Not our promises to God, but His promises to us. For God, the next verse, for God works both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Another verse. For me to live is what? Christ. And another one. I am crucified with the Messiah. And it's no longer I who live, but the Messiah lives in me. Amen? I don't understand these verses really completely. I don't think anybody can understand. And one of the hidden lies of the enemy is to make us strive and work for something which we already possess. And if, like, you have a beaten car, how many of you have an old car? What do you want instead of it? What? Another beaten car? You want a new car, right? We have a brother in our church. He has an old car, like it's like 20 years old, and he cannot sell it because it's so beaten. It was like maybe in hundreds of accidents, and he tries to sell it and he cannot. But it has a good engine. But when people look outside of that car, they're like, okay, no, I'm not interested. And this is how our life may look like to us, and maybe other people's lives, like a beaten car. And we judge people according to what we see on the outside, while God, when He looks at us, how do you think He judges us? According to what He has put inside of us. And that's what He put in us. He put a new spirit and a new heart. And this is our engine. This is our new engine. God did not just come to change our life, like to fix it from outside so we could have, but He came so we could have His life, His breath, God's persona, making Himself one with us and transforming us from the inside. Hallelujah. This is a good news, right? It's not me trying to fix my old me into new me. It's God already fixed us. And He made us brand new creation in Himself. How do you think an apple tree produce apples? It has to have a nature of an apple tree, right? So how can a saint produce a holy life? Can I just quote you what the holy life is? Are you ready? Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. This is holy life. Like reading this list makes you desperate. Gosh, how can I produce this? But thank God that it says here it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruit of Pavel. I'm not the producer of life. And you, we are containers of life. Do we believe that? Do I always feel that? Do I always experience that? No. Do I understand that? No, I don't. But I can accept it by faith and say, well, this is mine. This is mine and this is yours, dear friends. And this is how our Christian life looks like. Hallelujah. This is good news. I think it's good news this morning. And as we recognize to be forgiven by Him, that's what I need to do every day. Recognize that Jesus Christ is my life. And He is your life. That's what Paul says. Christ is my life. And to die is gain. I need to recognize Him. So, in closing, He said, I will cause you to walk in my statutes. He said that. He promised that. And He enjoys raising your kids. He enjoys doing job with you. He enjoys washing dishes, doing your garden. He enjoys simply living your ordinary life, everyday life. God enjoys, because He enjoys living in you and I. He did not come like to make us like our life more miserable. He came so we would have His life. And I think this is amazing rock we can stand this morning on, right? We are built on God Himself, our rock. And He has made Himself available to us. So we, hallelujah, we have a new heart. Just put your hand on your heart. You know what's beating inside of you? It's a new heart. It's that new heart which produces new life. The holy life. His life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You are our life. We don't understand it, but we say thank you for that life. We just thank you for we receive that life as your gift. And thank you for that gift. Glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, dear friends.
I remember when Pastor Pavel came to, he came from St. Petersburg, Russia, Pastor, to Budapest to study in the Bible college that Pastor Mati started. And I think we had four Russian, we had four Russian students that came, maybe, was it, or six? Four, yeah. And the fact he survived is like just, you know, the evidence that God exists. That's all. There's only one explanation for his survival. We had such an amazing, and he also, I had the idea that we could videotape the book of Ephesians, and I could teach it, and he could translate into Russian, and then we could send it to the Russian, because there was church planning starting up in the Soviet Union. And so it was Pastor Pavel and I in a room, like, for 1 year. I mean, wasn't it? Like, well, 1 day a week, was that it? Or a couple of times a week, And it was just he and I was teaching, and he was in, like, we just had to pretend that we had an audience. And but he is so diligent, so good in English, and just a servant of God, amazing, beautiful. All right, so Pastor, thank you. Great message, too. Wow, that was very good. All right, let's stand for a moment and have an attitude of thanksgiving. So just have a good attitude, all right? Turn it on right now. Say, praise the Lord, I have a good attitude. And then express it to your neighbor. Okay, you may be seated. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 15. If you are here for our regular 9 o'clock service, then we want to draw your attention to a great opportunity that you have this week. You see the tent at the end of the parking lot. That'll be filled with food booths in the gym, more space for fellowship, and then we have morning, afternoon, and evening guest speakers and people that have come from different countries. Maybe if you've come from a different country, would you stand up here this morning? If you come for the convention from a different country, thank you. Paris, Finland, Lithuania. We are so honored that people have come, and we are blessed that Jesus Christ has given us that new heart. He said, new engine. Good word, you know, a new motivation, new engine. In organizing the message this morning, I have a couple of things that are negative to share, but I think we'll get through them because they can be painful when we think about fathers. But I want to share them anyway. And the text we are using is in Luke chapter 15, and we'll start from verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. So we have a father and two sons. One journalist, Tim Russert, wrote a book called The Wisdom of Our Fathers, and he sent out an appeal for people in America to send in a letter about their father. And he got 60,000 letters and emails from American people that were describing moments of intimacy, care, what a piece of family history, a moment of good words, whatever they wanted to write, negative things they could write, and he received some of the negative. But he said overwhelmingly the letters were positive. And he made a connection between the letters, and he said that most of the fathers had time for their family, time for their children. Number two, they gave attention to their children or their family. And then thirdly, love. Another thread that he saw that went through the letters was that the children said that their dads in the context were, and they were obviously relatively silent and modest men. Not big talkers, just simple, modest, caring men that were present with their families. Maybe in this parable, Christ is saying, a man had two sons, and when we read the parable, we realize that this dad had something in his heart that was very important for both sons. Another book that I picked up, which is absolutely amazing, written by a man called Paul Vietz. It's entitled The Faith of the Fatherless. And he is a psychiatrist and professor, PhD, well-educated, trained, well-known, has written a lot. And the Freudian idea of a Christian becoming a believer or a believer in God, being a believer rooted in his psychology, is used the same way by this writer to say that when a man doesn't have a father, or if the father is abusive, if the father may be absent, maybe he dies or he abandons the family, it can produce atheism. And he goes through 400 years of history, and he shows that major atheists had the absence of a father in their life. And in the same book, this is the negative stuff that I want to just mention. Stalin, Joseph Stalin, undeserved and severe beatings made the boy as hard and heartless as the father was. His father was beating him. Since all people in authority over others seemed to him to be like his father, there soon arose in him a vengeance feeling against all people standing above him. Like Stalin, young Adolf Hitler received severe and regular beatings from his father. His father is described as authoritarian and selfish, and showing little concern for the feelings of his much younger wife and little understanding of his children. And as a hard, unsympathetic, and short-tempered man, Adolf had an older half-brother from an earlier marriage who bitterly complained that his father often beat him unmercifully. And then it goes through their history in their family. When his father died, Adolf was 14, and from that time on had no father figure at all. His mother, like Stalin's mother, pushed her son toward the church. For a few years, he went along with this, but by the age of confirmation, he was clearly rebellious, and from then on never had anything good to say about Christianity. He mentions Voltaire, Bertrand Russell. He goes through a long line. And then there's this story. He was an Italian man, John Bosco. Don Bosco became his name. And his dad died when he was 2. And his brother hated him. And his brother was, like, it seemed as though, like, an evil man, evil boy. Anyway, this man who later became a saint in the Catholic Church, and maybe you've heard of his work, but he, John's made him, John was, okay. John's childhood was physically very hard. He drew water from the well, chopped firewood, cleaned the cow shed. When he got a little older, this is in the 19th century, he, from his early childhood, he showed intelligence, strong character, and outgoing personality. He lost his dad when he was 2, but then an uncle took him in, then a priest, and then another priest. And this man just had an amazing love for young. He made him a favorite of the boys. He gathered 100 young men. When he became a priest, he gathered 100 young men, and he started an organization to spiritually educate and physically care for children. When his father died, he met a father figure, then a maternal uncle, then the priests that helped him and fathered him, and he greeted them, but they passed him. Yeah. So, point is, people need a father. And if I don't have one, if I could in my heart say, people need a dad. They need somebody to spend time with them. They need a word. They need a youth pastor like these men over here. They need a teacher. They need a church. They need friends. They need encouragement. Because there's a tremendous attack in our society against a father. It was said in that one book that I was referring to that the culture makes fathers look like idiots that don't know any better And these family sitcoms often don't have a father figure, and if he is there, then he is ridiculed and mocked. But if you have had a father who wasn't a perfect man, but he was there and he had good intentions, and if I didn't have him, could I find a teacher? I remember Dr. Stevens said, because he lost his dad when he was 3, but I believe it was in 8th grade when the principal of the school took an interest in Pastor Stevens, the young man, Carl Stevens. And Pastor had this in his mind. He goes, I'm making this up. I'm not just saying it for my own opinion on it. That if you have been alone as a young man and somebody of authority walks past you, you would like them to take notice of you. If you've been a young man 13 years old and some man walks by you, you think in your heart, I wish he could talk to me or say something to me. I wish he could notice me because I don't have a dad. I don't have a father, or I don't have that person in my life. And I think Pastor Stevens had a definite interest in this because he had been there himself without a dad. And he actually became an amazing dad to many of us in the most deepest and important sense. That's why we love and respect him and his work. Though not perfect, yet he was there when I needed somebody. Though not perfect, yet he had a word in season for me in my heart. And this is the way we are. We are needing. A certain man had 2 sons, Jesus said. And let's add to that. That man who had the 2 sons, he had the time, he had the attention to his sons, and he had the love for his sons. And let's say he was modest and he didn't talk much. Let's say that he was a father who didn't really know how to be a father, but he understood that this was his responsibility, that I cannot abandon my children. I cannot go away from my wife, or I cannot leave these precious ones because they'll be victims, vulnerable. And then, of course, needless to say, beating a child is ridiculous. But if your father was a beast, God can heal you. If your father abandoned you, let it go. Forgive him and move on. Because God wants to use you and he can heal you and give to you what Pastor Pavel said, a new engine, a new heart, a new way of thinking, and something beautiful. So let's go to the parable and read it. Verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. There you go. You see the dad quietly, not arguing with his son, not fighting with his son, not cursing his son, not throwing his son out of the house. But there it is. How beautiful that is. Let's emphasize the fact one more time. When we are born again, we have a new life, and our life is not identified by our past pain. Our life is identified by our new life. And if there's anything in a congregation this size, if there's anything, there are so many painful things that we could remember. But forgetting the things that are behind, let us embrace the doctrine that is able to heal us, build us up, affect our thinking. And we have taught here by Dr. Carolyn Leaf, the psychiatrist who's done research on the subject, and by Pastor Stevens' constant teaching and leading and guiding through the years, that my mind has an authority over my body. My mind actually is affected by my thinking. My brain and spirit actually controls my life. How I think is very important regarding my life and also my future. 13. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. In other words, the story is sad, but the sad story is not over. He is gone, let's say, 5 years. Is he ever coming back? No, I don't know if he's ever coming back, but the father is there waiting. The father cares about him. The father is seeking him. The father wants him. The father cares about him. So there it is. What about the boy? Is it right? No, it's wrong. It's called sin. What about the sin of the human race? Well, what about it? It's amazing that God would put up with us and give us grace. Grace, grace. We expect it, but we don't deserve it. We expect a good life. How many of us say, God, I want a good life. Give me a good life. Give me a good life. But I don't have the right starting point. The right starting point is that I shouldn't even exist. That God, when man sinned, it should have been over. That God could have judged the human race at the very beginning. That once you have sinned, we don't understand this, but I want you to understand it with me. It takes time, but you'll get it as you walk with God. You do not know what it means that we have sinned. You do not realize the tragedy of it. You do not realize the judgment that comes upon sin. You don't realize what it means to have a holy God. You don't realize what it means that we have violated his law, his very nature, that the effect of it is amazing, that Lucifer fell like lightning from heaven. There was no time for it. There was no patience with it. It was a radical departure from God's nature, and he hated it. Loves righteousness, hates iniquity. It is the plague of plagues, the poison of poisons. It is the disaster of disasters. You don't get it, and I don't either. But when he talked to Adam and even said, "Where are you?" That was like amazing grace. Where am I? You mean you care about me? You're my father in heaven. I am your father in heaven. Where are you? Where are you? I'm going to give you time. I'm going to reach out to you. I'm going to reveal grace to you. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to care about you. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to save you. It'll be very expensive for me. I'm going to give my only son. In other words, I, God, will come into the world to save you. It's the only way it can happen. And for us to catch the depth of both principles, the depth of what sin is and the depth of what grace is the key to our whole devotional life. We worship him because he is so good. We worship him because he cares. We worship him because he's waiting for us to come back home. We worship him because we have touched his nature and discovered that he is a good God, a heavenly Father, a Father that could be portrayed in the best human terms, a good dad. It is our heavenly Father on steroids. He's amazing Father, amazing Father. Amazing Father, amazing Father, caring, never giving up, and waiting and loving. But he cannot deal with this stubborn rebellion when you get locked in your hatred. And it happens to people. A hate, it was produced by perhaps the abuse of the parents, as you see in those short stories. A hatred that just festered and lived, and then they became politically active and then promoted And evil men promoted with hatred rooted deep in their soul to murder and kill and destroy as much as possible. Where did it come from? The father of lies, abuse, psychological and physical torment, being trashed, stepped upon. Judge not, lest you be judged, in Matthew 7:1. Our world is filled with pain and sorrow and trouble. But God, our God in heaven is one. He's crying out to say, I am not like that Father. I am a good one. I am the heavenly Father. I sent my Son into the world so you could see my nature. You would understand who I am. And I am there, mild, modest, showing up, never failing. You slam the door in my face. You say no to me. I'll never stop being your father. I'll never go away from you. I care about you. I'll be patient. I'll pray for you. And I won't stop. I'll be there, because that's the man that's described in this story. Look at verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself. Could we say to the human race, any of you guys out there, are you in want yet? Are you sick and tired yet? Have all your crap? Huh? Are you sick and tired of the filth, the sin, the wickedness? Are you sick and tired of the girlfriends and the lying and the cheating and the drunkenness and the addiction? Are anybody in want yet? We live like a pig for a little bit longer. Are you in want yet? And I know that that may work some for some, and some will throw it back at us in their anger and their want and emptiness. And then we try another approach. Can we help you? We are soft and gentle, compassionate, reaching out and saying, we understand. We have been there. Can we help you? Please come. Verse 16. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will rise and go. Could we say this about that? That if somebody in their mind could get out of the religion and get into like the ocean and the cosmos, and the crazy believer, like we had some crazy believers, I don't even know who they were, but they went through the border of Hungary and Serbia. And one of our customs guys, he was a customs agent, one of our brothers, he was an unbeliever. I said, how did you get saved? He said, these two American crazy missionary guys came through the border and they jumped out of the car and taking pictures and laughing and hugging. They wanted pictures of the car. And he goes, then they got in the car and they drove away. And he said, I don't know who they were. I don't know what they were about. But I saw something. And I wanted to believe in Jesus. Because they were crazy. I wanted to believe in Jesus because of their joy. I wanted to believe in Jesus because they were enjoying life. You know? This man said, my father has hired servants and they're not hungry. I go home to him. And I will say, not only will you go home to him and have a plate of oatmeal, but you'll have something that'll shock you. You will have the fatted calf. When you come to God, you may be, like in the words of C.S. Lewis, surprised by joy. You'll say, I can't believe. I'm thank you, God. You might be up at night saying, thank you, God. And through the night saying, thank you, God. You might say, I expected to come home to meet my father and just have a bowl of oatmeal. But I ended up being like honored with a ring on my finger and the fatted calf and finding grace and spirit. I found the Holy Spirit. I found the life of Christ. I found the promises of God. Our Father is a heavenly Father, and there is no one like him. Way beyond any gods of this world, way beyond any philosophy of this life, way beyond any human behavior, the best you could imagine, way beyond, he is fresh, he is alive, he is powerful, he is our heavenly Father. Why does Jesus say, call him Father? In the Old Testament, Father is, the word is 8 times in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it is 80 times. Why does Jesus say, call him Father? Why did he say Father? Because that relationship is like the closest we have, the highest, the most powerful, the vital one in our society and in our psychology. If my dad can accept me, wow. If my dad says, I'm proud of you, son, wow. If your dad ever says, he may never say the words, I love you, but he'll be there saying, pass the ketchup. he can't quite say, I love you. He can't get the words out. But that's okay with me. Guys, I know it's there. If he shows up for me, and he hasn't abandoned me, and he's there for me. Not perfect, but there we go. In other words, Jesus tells a story about a father. And he had 2 sons. And one of them turns out pretty awesome at the end of the story. And the other one still doesn't know his father. And that's a heartbreak. That happens. I want to say that's the devil. I want to say that breaks the Father's heart. I want to say that's the work of evil. And I want to say that happens. It happens in a Christian family. It happens in an unbelieving family. It happens. And if we have that kind of pain in our life, may God comfort us and speak to our hearts. And maybe the story isn't over. Maybe he will come home too. Or maybe he lives at home, but maybe he'll come around and understand the heart of the Father. But in any case, let it be known that our faith is vital. Our message is important. We are needed in a city like Baltimore. We are needed in these places where there is a great fight for the souls of men. We are needed with women that are raising families as a single parent. We are needed with dads who are raising kids as a single parent. We are needed in this world. Wake up, wake up. The Ephesians says, awake thou that sleepest. Rise from the dead and Christ shall give you light. And in your walk with God, maybe you'll be a great answer for some young person. In our walk with God, maybe our families will be blessed in a mighty way. And then also as a spiritual father, as a man of God, you are bearing good fruit, which will not be taken from us. But our food is in heaven. Our labor is there, and God recognizes it, and we are honored by it. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we pray for our city, country, families. We pray for our ministries, our preaching, our teaching, our love, our week, our understanding. We pray, Father, this will be a great week for us. We need fathers. We need fathers. We need spiritual fathers. We need love. We need correction. We need somebody in our face in a good way, saying or telling us the truth. And you have sent us into the world as a part of the answer. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. If you're here today and you don't have Jesus in your life, this is an invitation to come to your Heavenly Father and say to Him, I trust in You. I have come to the end. I want to trust in You. I have my strength, my abilities, my business, my stuff, my family. I have my life, my interests, my way. And God is saying, give me Your heart. Trust in Me. Let's start there. And then I will breathe on things. I will help you in your life. I will lead and guide you in the knowledge of the Holy. Say to Jesus, I believe in You, Jesus. And just raise your hand. Anyone? Raise your hand. Yes, to Jesus. And then, Father, for the real work in our hearts regarding this subject, we've come to a church where we are really wanting to hear something with teeth, with substance. We want our lives changed, not to condemn, not to feel guilty, not to feel pain, but to be healed, encouraged, edified, and motivated in our new life. Thank You for the fruit of that. We have seen it. And bless it, Lord, each life. In Jesus' name, amen.